Well, as Simon says, this is quite a lot to get your head around. But the important thing is, this is not the only opportunity you've got to get your head around it. We want this out there amongst the membership. This has been the subject of extensive discussion at board level between the two boards, both Abbeyfield Properties and Abbeyfield New Zealand Board. So what I'm presenting here is very much a joint view of the two boards, and we've kicked this around a lot. So I'll just crack on through the presentation. But I just looking at this whakatauki on the front page, I think Ruth has captured the essential spirit of what we're trying to achieve, working together as one for the well-being of all. And that's, some of you may have heard me talk about the D'Artagnan principle before, the one for all for one. I think that's is an essential piece of the Abbeyfield DNA, which we need to actually reflect upon. So next slide, please, Ruth. So this is our why and our how. If you look there on the left-hand box, providing affordable living, companionship, and independent living for as long as possible for our Abbeyfield residents. And our how? Well, we do that via affordable shared housing delivered in partnership with the local community. So right way back from that original vision of Richard Carr-Gomm, his idea was stop the isolation. People were dying from loneliness because when they were lonely, they didn't feed themselves properly, they got sick and they died. And he realized that by people coming together, living together, and particularly sharing meals together was the solution to this. So his response was simple. It was providing a safe, secure home where people could receive friendship and mutual support. And then in 1991, the late Dr. Ted Bassett, who was a Wakefield GP, brought the Abbeyfield concept to New Zealand. So we've been going here in New Zealand, and over 32 years, we've grown to 16 houses. So roughly a house every 2 years. The development hasn't all been smooth. It's been peaks and troughs, but it's roughly a house every 2 years. Our why remains exactly the same. Why are we doing it? Because we're doing what it says in the left-hand box: affordable living, companionship, and keeping people living independently for as long as possible. The how needs to change. Why does it need to change? It needs to change because if we can only deliver at a rate of one house every 2 years for the next 30 years, we will go nowhere to meeting the demand. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. So next slide, please, Ruth. So just some numbers, just some statistics. So by 2028, there will be 1 million people in New Zealand aged 65 plus. Think about that for a while. That's a lot of people. And by 2035, people aged 65 plus will be more than half of the people living alone. We also know that a large number of those people who are reaching the age of 65 between now and 2040, a large number of them won't have the financial capacity. They won't necessarily have an interest in a property or sufficient savings to participate in the conventional license to occupy retirement village model, even if they wanted to. So there's going to be an increasing demand for more housing solutions for older people. Ours is a unique model where the only ones providing the rental option, where people can effectively use their national superannuation to provide for their future living. Demand for aged care is rising sharply, and there's a projected shortfall of aged care beds by 2032. We know the conventional rest home models and the conventional retirement village models, we know that they're building like tomorrow. But you might have also seen in the news that they're also closing rest home facilities. They don't make any money out of rest homes, so they're closing them. They make their money out of giving people the option to buy, and then hopefully people only staying for 2 or 3 years before they need to move into higher care. Interest from development committees in establishing an Abbey Field is at the highest point ever. I think we've got, correct me, Ruth, have we got 12 active at the moment? So we've got 12 committees around New Zealand either have been formed. In some cases, like Greymouth, they've been going for nearly 20 years. And in other places, we've got new committees forming where people are suddenly realizing, hey, Abbey Field's a model that suits us. And there in Karikari, you've been on that journey, you've achieved it, you've got there. We want to make it easier for development committees to get to the goal of having a house. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by changing the how we operate as a society and as an organization to deliver the how. I'd also say that none of the other major providers of housing for older people are particularly keen or active in smaller regional New Zealand. Most of our interest is coming from smaller centres in regional New Zealand, where people are realizing, gosh, there's nowhere for our older people to go and live independently, as more and more councils are getting out of pensioner housing. Next slide, please. So, you may recall a good few years ago, Abbey Field organised itself into Abbey Field New Zealand and Abbey Field Properties. So we consolidated all the properties in one ownership. Why did we do that? Well, one of the reasons was we always had in the back of our minds that we would be able to achieve a portfolio lending approach. So at the moment, the combined assets of Abbey Field Properties is about 30 million, give or take. And we've got borrowing against that asset value of about 3.2 million there or thereabouts. So we're very, very lowly geared in financial terms. We have a lot of asset value and a very limited amount of borrowing. So the Community Housing Funding Agency came along. And importantly, some of the things that Chris Bishop, the Minister of Housing, said when community housing funding was set up are very important to us. We've been receiving some strong signals from this government that they're interested in working with the community housing sector to help us. And one of the ways they're helping us is through this community funding agency. So they're leveling the playing field to allow community housing providers to borrow at the same on the same basis as Kāinga Ora. So government's main social housing agency has access to preferential government borrowing. We've got the access now through Community Housing Funding Agency to exactly the same thing. So community housing gave us the opportunity to refinance our entire portfolio. We took a decision that we wouldn't borrow more money. We would just refinance what we had already borrowed from Christian Savings and Nelson Building Society. So we've consolidated all of those loans into one loan from the Community Housing Funding Agency. So we're getting very, very competitive rates. Generally, their rates are about 1 to 1.2% below the best rates that we'd achieved from Christian financing, which were already at a discount from what we would have received from the banks. We can also lock in our rates for longer, which gives us funding certainty. Those of you who are involved in the financing of houses and the running of houses, you know, having budget security, having financial security by locking in rates, knowing what your funding costs are going forward is a huge advantage. So the portfolio lending has effectively unlocked about $122,000 per year in debt reservicing savings. So this is what we pay now compared to what we were paying to Christian Savings and to Nelson Building Society. In addition to that, Community Housing has suggested to us that they'll be able to continue supporting us for additional borrowing. So next slide, please. First up, we want to share the savings that we're making. So that 122,000 that we're saving in finance costs, we want to spread the love around with that. It's enabling us to do three major strategic things, which we as a board and Abbey Field New Zealand as a board think are significant to the organisation as a whole. Firstly, we're going to retire the facility fee model. As you may or may not be aware, the facility fee model was created to effectively give Abbey Field a revenue source from effectively the use of the Abbey Field houses by local societies. Some local societies have debt, some do not have any debt. Some local societies have a very substantial debt, some local societies have a very small debt. Some local societies are operating with significant cash reserves. Some local societies are operating on the smell of an oily rag with very little money in the bank at the end of the year. We want to make a much more equitable model to having a flat whānau contribution fee instead of the range across the society. So it will be a flat fee of 16% per house plus the contribution to the refurbishment fund. The 16% would be 16% of the receipt of rental income related to each house. Our future goal would be to potentially reduce that to 15%, but we don't feel we're in the position to do that just yet. We need a little bit more experience of running the model. Why have we called it a whānau fee? Well, the whole principle of whānau is family helping family. And I asked a question at the conference for people in the room to put their hand up if they'd participated in fu a funding system known as the Bank of Mum and Dad, helping family members into housing. And that's increasingly becoming a model that is across the board necessary to allow some of our young people to get houses these days. Mum and Dad either provide a cash contribution, or Mum and Dad guarantee a mortgage, or Mum and Dad go as joint guarantors of mortgage on the property, or guarantee the mortgage against their own assets. So that's the same principle for Abbey Field. We want to consider Abbey Field as a whānau, as a family, and we want to use that equity, some of that equity, and we're not for 1 minute suggesting that we're going to go and run out and borrow millions against the $30 million asset. But if we were able to, say, increase our total borrowings from 3 million to, say, 7, 8, maybe even 9 million, that would give us the opportunity to fund a lot more houses more quickly. Why is that important? Well, it's important because government is expecting us to step up, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. The second two things we're going to do, and so by shifting to that 16% flat model, there would be savings accruing to all local societies, which total about 65,000. So over half of that 120,000 a year savings that we're making, we're returning back to local societies in the form of lower contributions. Everyone under a flat fee model will pay less than what they're paying now. Some houses will pay considerably less, some houses will only pay marginally less, but it's still going to be less. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to put a little bit more money in the piggy bank for APL. When APL supports local societies to create a house, we often finish up having to put in some what we call seed capital. And that seed capital is often necessary to either undertake architectural or geotechnical investigations on a site to do some preliminary work. So we often have to employ some specialists to tell us, yes, this site is suitable to build on, yes, this site is okay, it's not contaminated land, or no, we've actually had to turn down a couple of sites because they were contaminated land. Generally, we'll invest probably somewhere between $50,000 and $150,000 in that initial seed funding for a house. And we don't want to post that load onto the development committees because they've got enough on their plate just getting set up and getting operating and getting into fundraising mode. So we believe APL could help with that process. So we'll put another 38,000 into that fund. That'll allow us probably to help one more local society. We also are proposing to put some of the savings into building capacity at national office to allow for enhanced systems and increased support to local societies. We'll put about 20,000 into that. We are a very lean, mean operation at national office. What are we at the moment, Ruth? Two point
Or just over two, two
just
point
o
one, yeah.
just over two full-time equivalents to run effectively a business. So given that most houses' budgets are in the order of somewhere north of $350,000, $400,000 per annum, 16 times that number, we are a multi-million dollar business in terms of annual turnover. So running that and running all the regulatory activities in association with that and all the support facilities for local societies, we've done it largely with the same resources for the last 5 years, and those resources are not sufficient to enable us to cope with future growth. So we'll move on to the next slide. So this is the background. So there's the old facility fee on the left. It was developed way back in 2016. It's served us well, but it's probably come to the end of its life. It was a complicated calculation. It was either the greater of this or this, or the lesser of this or this, and it was a bugger of a thing to explain to people. Ruth said she'd never seen anything more complicated when she came on board with us, and I'll agree with her. It was also inequitable. Some houses were paying very high fees, often for decades, because they had borrowings against them. Some houses didn't, so they were paying the same flat fee under the reduced percentage model that they'd paid forever. Some houses were lucky enough to some committees were lucky enough to get a house with no debt. We've got a couple in that situation. Other houses have had to have a loan, and we don't think it actually reflects the values of Abbeyfield, that whānau values, that idea of a group of people coming together to care for another group of people, and the family values associated with a larger family. Abbeyfield as 16 houses, as a network of houses, and a whānau wrapping its arms around the newcomers who are wanting to join the whānau, the newborns. So we want to move to this whānau contribution. So it'll be 16% based on all rental income generated from the house. So for those houses who've got perhaps additional tenants living in former housekeepers' apartments and the things like that, we want 16% of that as well too. Every house pays equally, regardless of past or future debt levels on those individual houses. So you can think of the whānau contribution as a contribution to the broader aims and objectives of Abbeyfield, keeping Abbeyfield strong as an organisation to service the needs of constituent local societies, and keeping Abbeyfield a strong partner in the community housing space, allowing it to move forward confidently to help government deliver on its plans for older people's housing. We won't disadvantage older houses or those who might require costly upgrades or extensions. So we've got a couple of extension projects. We're finding, for example, Dunedin has only got nine studios. That's really, really hard to run a house with only nine studios. The sweet spot is about 12, and the extra sweet spot with a little bit of comfort in the budget is 14. So any new builds will be targeting at least 12, preferably 14. But there are some houses who don't have that, and Palmerston North have got 12 rooms, but they are proposing an expansion to go to 14, and also Waikato are thinking about a couple more studios as well. It'll take them up to 14. Next slide, please, Ruth. So, as I said, the refinancing is a game changer. changer. It allows us to step up and to step forward with confidence. So we've got our portfolio borrowing sorted with Community Housing Funding Agency. If we borrow more, it'll be just topping up the existing mortgage, and we'll have to offer a few additional properties as security. At the moment, we've only got two properties out of the 16 offered as security, so we've got plenty of space to step up to a bit more borrowing if we need it. We're also going to be working together so we can grow Abbeyfield nationally. We can grow the support that National Office is able to offer to local societies, and that's in the space of running the budgets, doing the accounting and the payroll. That's in the area of helping where we've got a project underway to put all the manuals online so that everybody can have access to the manuals and find out all the detail without having to email Ruth. And we've got the ability also to answer the increased and substantial demands for regulatory and compliance issues with the national government through the community housing. Remind me, Ruth, community housing
Regulatory authority.
regulatory authority and all the other things that we're doing. So all of that's taken off local societies and coordinated through National Office. So National Office will come out to local committees asking for inputs of information, and then they'll compile that information. And with that regulatory framework, we've always had 100% compliance with that, and we target being a compliant organisation. We have a fantastic reputation with government for what we do, and we're hoping to actively pursue further funding on the basis of we are good stewards of government money. We spend it wisely, and in fact, our two latest builds we've delivered ahead of time and under budget. So we're now in discussion with government about spending the savings. Next slide, please, Ruth. We had some stories at the local conference from Dunedin, from Alan, and from Masterton, from Jude, and Carol spoke to us about your recent experience in Cuddy Cuddy. We won't have those here, but basically, this was a chance for the rest of the membership to hear from three differing circumstances. Dunedin, we had to transition them out of a license to occupy retirement villages model into the standard Abbeyfield model, and now we're supporting them to look at expansion of their house to actually make the house financially viable. Masterton, similar story. They had 10 studios in new wings, and they had an old vicarage with some funding from Abbeyfield in the UK. We were able to get funding for four new studios, and we're trialing a model with MSD whereby we're receiving a top up on rental funding there through the IRRS, the income related rent subsidy. Whether we pursue that further, the jury's still out on that. But all of these things were demonstrating, and Cuddy Cuddy, Carol spoke about how she got a lot of support from National Office and from Abbeyfield Properties. Generally, at Abbeyfield Properties, every new development now, we allocate one board member to be responsible for that to help the committee negotiate that build process. And Carol spoke very positively about that. So, next slide, please. So here's what we see as the major benefits for current and future houses. If we have better capacity at National Office and we have better systems, they can provide more support to local committees, leaving you to get on with the day-to-day work of running your houses, managing your houses, and looking after your residents. We're also hopeful in future that we'll move to something similar to what they've done in Australia, where they've got regional networks of houses. So at the moment, we've got two houses in Nelson, we've got another one in Motueka, we've got another one in Golden Bay, and we're hopeful of having a third house in Nelson in the very near future. So if we've got five houses in that region, there's no reason why we couldn't employ a person to assist all five of those committees with managing their houses. That might be financial management, that might be day-to-day resident issues, it might be maintenance, it might be a whole lot of things. So getting to scale in any one location will give us that opportunity. Also, getting to scale gives us more bargaining power with suppliers, power suppliers, valuations, insurance, government, and other funders. We're seeing more and more houses moving to specialist food suppliers like Bidfood or something like that, rather, or Gilmore's, rather than just going and buying their food at the supermarket. They're moving to a wholesale food provider, which brings some savings, but also means that they have to operate an account there as well too. And in the long term, we're hoping the whānau contribution can be reviewed and reduced further, but that will only come with future growth. We need more houses. We probably need to get to 20 houses before we're able to look at reducing that. So that's our long-term strategic goal. Your boards have had the strategic goal of 30 houses, sorry, 20 houses by 2030. So that means we've got to get cracking. We've effectively got to build one house every year for the next 4 years. Nationally, what we hope is more communities can realise their dream of having an Abbeyfield house, and that more older people can have access to affordable housing with companionship, enabling them to live independently for longer. We've got some data on how we do on that score. We're looking to update that because, as this government has said, they want to be an evidence-based government, making investments in social infrastructure based on sound evidence. So we're looking at actually commissioning some specific research to help us with presenting that picture to government. And our collective vision will be achieved by more houses across Aotearoa. I personally would hope that we can actually get to more than 20 houses by 2030, but hey, we always is. So next slide, please. So this is what we're going to do. So we're calling it temperature testing, just seeing how people respond to this idea. And we rolled it out at National Conference, and we've got these four sessions over the next couple of weeks. If there is broad acceptance, then we'll need to commission a legal redraft of the deed of management. We'll need our lawyers to help us with that, and we'll consult with each society further through until March. The goal will be to change the facility fee to a whānau contribution in the budgets that are starting year end, financial year end, 31st of March 2027, so the next budgets. And will require formal adoption and recognition of the change at Aberfeld, New Zealand, and the APL AGM in July 2026. That's a very quick scuttle through it. There's lots for you to absorb in there. So both Simon, Susan, Ruth, and I will be happy to answer any questions. So the floor is over to you, constituent memberships.
Thanks, Graham.
Anyone here got a question? I've got a question. I just want to say I think we should be helping each other. That's...
So did you hear that?
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, delighted to hear that. I'm hoping that we, as the joint boards, I'm hoping that we've captured that as a major sort of value permeating the organization. People don't come into Abbeyfield unless they want to help. And one of the ways of helping is helping your local society, but actually by thinking a bit wider, we can probably help a number of other societies. And I'm aware of the fact that a large number of societies have struggled for many, many years with fundraising. We're not proposing to change that. We think going forward, if at the moment an Abbeyfield house costs somewhere between 3.5 and 4 million to build, including the land, if we can get half of that cost from government, we then think we can borrow another chunk against that house And we also think that the local society can chip in with somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million in local fundraising. Why is that local fundraising so important? Well, I think as you well know in karikari, it builds your local committee capacity.
Showing, Thompson.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely, Tao. It shows that the community is in behind this, and it shows that there is an engagement of the local community. We want that to continue because we need community engagement to guarantee the success of the Abbey Field model across New Zealand. The places where we've struggled are the places where we've come in and plonked an Abbey Field down with no local fundraising. And it's hard to get that community buy-in to the process. It would be lovely to be able to do all the Abbey Fields with minimal local fundraising, but the reality is the benefits of local fundraising far outweigh the costs. But what we want to do is make it a little bit easier and a little bit quicker, and so that local societies who are forming, they don't think, oh my God, we've got to fundraise 1.5 million before we can even get started. We want to get started and get things rolling, get the projects rolling, and get people fundraising at the same time.
I think you've got the mix right. We've been asked many times in Katikati, when are you going to build the next one? And we've always replied, we are not going to build the next one, but if another group would like to, we'll help them.
That's
And
ex
I
exactly the
felt,
point, Pauline. That's why you've captured that wonderfully. We've got this. We've got, I mean, at Cuddy Cuddy, you benefited from what they were doing in Ellesmere at Lincoln and all of their fundraising there. Either knowingly or unknowingly, you took on a lot of the thinking that they were doing in terms of how they had a stall at the local marketplace and benefited from that. And we've had other societies. And one of the good things about the conference is the ability of nascent societies who don't yet have a house, they can come together and learn from those who've got a house. How did you do it? What worked? What didn't work? We're aiming to try and share the knowledge, which is invaluable. And every community will be slightly different. We at national boards, we don't know your communities. You know your communities. You know who to go to. You know whose buttons to press. You know whose doors to knock on. And that's the way we get this done. And that's the unique selling point that we're selling to government is, once an Abbey Field house is built, government's not putting its hand in its pocket ever again because it's self-sustaining.
That's right.
Yes, government's paying through National Super, but my goodness, what a better use of National Super could you think of than somebody being provided with a warm, dry home?
I'd like to say I really appreciate all the work that you're doing in this area, and certainly with expenditure continually rising, it's great to actually to have the fees decrease in this area, so that we can keep the rents at a reasonable level for our tenants, for our residents, and really appreciate the work that's been done and that you've been able to tap into the Community Housing Funding Agency and all that they've had to offer. That's really good. So yes, that's great to hear what you've been doing and very inspirational to hear what you're looking to do.
Thanks, Dee.
Thanks,
Appreciate that. I
Dave.
mean, that Community Housing Funding Agency has been a game changer for us. When we first, I can tell you, the chief executive of that came and gave a presentation to the APL board. And I think it's fair to say, Ruth, we were like stunned mullets, weren't we? We were just sat there. This is the answer to our prayers. We've been waiting for this for 10 years or more, and we did a few years ago initiate conversations with some of the commercial banks, but to be honest, that got put in the too hard basket. It was just because they wanted to load us not with any savings. They wanted to load us with
Pocket.
a 1% surcharge because they were a bit scared that we were a bit dodgy, and we're saying to them, hang on a minute,
Sorry.
our rental income is guaranteed by government. That's got to count for something.
Yes, it's right too.
So yeah, it has been a game changer, and to be honest, their purpose, their goals, their objectives, there is 100% alignment between them and Abbeyfield, and they were really keen to get us on board as part of their portfolio. Again, because I think it speaks to the government by saying, look, here we are. You've given this funding opportunity to all of these community housing providers. Look, we've only been going for a year and we've suddenly got six or seven of these major providers on board. There's us, there's Salvation Army, Court, who else, Ruth? I can't remember who else was on the but there's a
I
lot,
can't remember.
there's a whole host of community housing providers. So clearly government can see there was an untapped demand out there for this level of support. And this is great because, as far as government's concerned, this is all off the books. This is not government borrowing. This is the sector borrowing against its own assets and the sector borrowing against its own revenue stream. So it's not counted as government debt.
They actually did us a real favour too, Graham. I don't know if you remember this, but they don't usually lend less than 5 million. So they had to lower their limit to get us over the line. And they were more than happy to do that. In fact, they did everything they could to help us achieve that.
They were very, very, very accommodating.
So that tells us we can go over 5 million if we need to. They'd be very happy.
Totally,
They would.
totally. They'd be happy to give us another couple of million tomorrow. And that's a conversation we'll keep for some point in the future, as we get and we've probably got four houses that are perilously close to needing finance. We've got one in Napier, one in Alexandra, one in Rangiora, and potentially
Nelson.
Nelson. So we've got $1 million from Nelson City Council sitting there. Once we've got that site sorted out, we'll be pretty ready to press go on that house pretty quickly. The same thing in Alexandra. We've got a site where we've got an agreement for sale and purchase for a site there. We're pretty ready, nearly ready to go there. We've got a good concept plan. We've got a good concept plan for housing in Rangiora and Waimakariri district. We've got a good concept plan again based on your Karikari plan for another house in Napier. And we're in final stages of negotiating an agreement with the local councils in both Napier and Waimakariri to have sites made available at Peppercorn Rentals. So we're moving at pace. And my prediction is that 2026 is going to be another big year for Abbeyfield. I would be very surprised if we don't have at least two builds underway in 2026. Possibly even a third by the end of the year, which is going to pose a huge load for National Office and a huge load for the Abbeyfield Properties Board. But that's the way we're going to be up for growth. And if we can demonstrate to the minister that we're in growth mode, then I think we're in a good position to get some more money.
Any other questions?
Any more? No.
Well, thank you, Graham. That was very persuasive, and as far as I can see, looking at what from the money point of view, as far as I can see, it doesn't make a lot of difference to us, but it's the principle that counts.
Yes.
What are we trying to do as an Abbeyfield group?
I think you're right. You've got it, Peter. You've got the argument. This is about This is not about our why. Our why remains exactly the same. This is about the how. And we're trying to speed up the how so new committees are not having to spend 10 years waiting for a house. If we've got a good active committee in place and we've got some fantastic development committees in place and they're moving at pace, we as an organisation want to be able to match the pace that they're moving at to make sure there's no obstacles to them getting a house as quickly as they can.
I agree, and I have, and as I said at the conference, and that we have had so much support that has made such a difference from us at all sorts of levels. And I think all of us would feel that every other committee that's working the same way as that we were should have that support as well. And if our 16% helps to achieve that, because we did have a lot of financial support from you guys right through for different things and avenues, even if it was just Ruth's time. And it's really important to have that continue on for other Abbey fields. It certainly makes a difference.
Correct. You're right. Good. Are we done?
Anything else?
Yep, we're happy.
It's all good.
Yep,
we're
I'm
always
happy.
happy.
Thank you.
Happy in the bay.
Yeah, we're happy in the bay, and it's sunny.
Yeah. And the New Zealand cricketers are whopping the West Indies, so what is not to like?
Oh, good.
Don't tell me you've got a little TV on the side watching.
No, but I have been sitting on the couch with my cup of tea watching Tom Latham get his